This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The year is almost over. One might wonder, what are you talking about? We're talking of the Hijri calendar, which is the original Islamic calendar, the lunar months. Allah Almighty has prescribed for us a certain way of calculating the months. And at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, they decided we're going to have a cutoff from which we're going to be having year one, year two, year three. So he went back to when the Hijrah happened and he said the Muharram of the year that the Hijrah happened, we will be counting it as year one and then year two. So at this moment we are in 1445 Hijri, which means 1445 lunar years after the Hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have just about 2 weeks to go, not even, in fact, one more Friday to go, perhaps, and then we will enter the new Islamic year. Now, the reason I start this way is year in, year out, time is clocking, but have we actually changed? And not just changed, but changed for the better. Many times we have a lot that is going on in our lives. And sometimes the interactions that we have, the new people we've introduced into our lives, or sometimes due to the challenges we're facing, we don't realize we become people that are not actually the best of people. And as Muslims, we're supposed to be the best in character. In fact, if you want to actually gauge how close you are to Allah, over and above your fara'id and your duties unto Allah, just check your character. And inshallah, you'll be able to tell whether you're really a pious person or not. Piety is not only to fulfill your five salah and to do your psalm, your fasting, and you know, charities and so on, stay away from this and that. Piety is closely connected to your character and conduct as well, because Allah has kept two major types of rights. One is the right you and I have to fulfill towards Him, and the other is the right you and I have to fulfill towards the rest of the creatures, the creatures the same Allah has created. So how I treat people I interact with, or I pass, or I come across, actually Allah planned and calculated that you are going to interact with this person, whether you know it or you don't. Allah's planned and calculated that you're going to pass this person at this time in your vehicle, and he's going to cut in front of you. Allah planned it. He knows it's going to happen. And why? Why? If you understand the why, it changes you as a person to a much better person. Why? Just to test you, to see, tick or cross. Nothing else. Nothing else. You actually have to pass. Someone cut in front of you, you can deal with it. You can actually, well, you're going to have to apply brakes, isn't it? Because you can't just say, I'm a good person, let me just bump into him. But you don't swear and abuse. You're allowed to perhaps hoot. In our language, we call it hoot. Hoot at the guy. But you have no right to make signs at him that are derogatory, or to get angry, or you now step up and show him, let me show you, I'm going to cut you too. All of that, it just goes to show that, you know what, you haven't really understood why this was designed by Allah. A believer believes that Allah has created a set of tests for him or her that are already chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, there is a slight shift depending on the way you look at destiny. When you make dua, when you give charity, there is a certain type of change that can occur in what was destined for you in certain matters. That's a discussion on its own. But the point I raise today is, as I'm becoming older, you have to keep looking at yourself and you have to keep asking yourself, am I a good person? You have to be a little bit hard on yourself. How did I treat this one? How did I interact with this one? What happened with this one? For example, someone is toxic. Toxic meaning it's so difficult to interact with them. You're allowed to keep away, no problem. But do you keep away in a beautiful way, or do you become ugly about it? You've got to understand, on earth, there will be some people who are impossible to deal with, because perhaps they may not have a fear or a sense of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do I process that? We need to become better people as we grow older. So Allah Almighty wants us to keep a beautiful distance at times. In fact, when He speaks about patience in the Quran, He tells Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fasbir sabran jamila." You see, He says, "Bear the patience that is beautiful." What's beauty got to do with patience? It means don't become toxic about it. Don't mess yourself because someone else is negative, and don't lose your goodness because someone else is not good, and so on. All of that is included in the jamil of it, the beauty of being patient. I'm patient. People face huge challenges. Sometimes they become on edge with their family members without realizing. So you have a problem at work, which is major. You come home, you're snapping at your children, you're snapping at your spouse, you're snapping at everyone else, and you don't realize it. And if anyone says, "Hey, what's going on?" you get even more angry. So you have to introspect every so often and ask yourself, "Am I actually doing this? If so, please change it. The year is coming to an end. The years are clocking. I don't want to die a death where when I pass away, people say, 'That guy died.' Alhamdulillah." You know, we want them to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and pray for us. May Allah forgive the person. May Allah grant him Jannah, and so on. We need to effect positive change. Now, when I said the person whose character has improved and becomes beautiful with others is actually a real pious person, it's because true acts of worship, genuinely made for Allah, after understanding who Allah is, soften you. They don't make you hard and harsh. When you have a person who has a lot of knowledge and they have a lot of actions of worship or acts of worship, but they haven't really truly understood who Allah is, or even if they know at the back of their minds who Allah is, but they haven't sat and thought about it, sometimes they become very ugly in their character. They look at all others as though they are all inferior. Who are these people? They are nothing. They are nobodies. I'm the guy. I know. I'm pious. I make myself. I get up for tahajjud in the morning, and so on. That type of attitude is actually indicative of the fact that shaitan has got this person in a net. Don't allow that to happen. Together with all of this, shaitan becomes jealous of your acts of worship. Very jealous. He firstly doesn't want you to pray. This morning I read an article, an Islamic article, which said, Allah only gets up for Salatul Fajr the one whom He loves. Okay, it was somebody's comment. But in a nutshell, I can word it a little bit differently, agreeing in principle that yes, indeed, Allah grants you the acceptance to be bothered about getting up for Fajr when He loves you. Because you can't just say, "Look, I'm going to see if Allah gets me up or not," and go to bed. No, you've got to put a clock. You've got to do something about it. You've got to sleep early to ensure you're going to get up early. And then when you get up and you're fresh and you, subhanAllah, you're doing your Salatul Fajr and you're thanking Allah, "Oh Allah, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to worship you." What happens? You understand that shaitan exists as well. And had it not been for the mercy of Allah, perhaps shaitan would have gotten hold of you. Now that I fulfilled my salah, what does shaitan do? He's not just going to sit and chill. He is going to come to me and make me think, "Wow, I'm pious. You know, I did my prayer. And what about these guys who were sleeping? You know, what about them? They are nothing." And then you start coming and you think you're the only guy. That is problematic. May Allah humble us, grant us humility and goodness, and may Allah Almighty help us to treat each other in a non-judgmental way. And when we say non-judgmental, I quickly want to say, if someone advises you, it doesn't mean they're judging you. Someone says, "My sister, you need to dress more appropriately. Inshallah, I pray for you. I don't mean to belittle you, but Islamically so-so." Respectful. That's not a judgmental statement. That is a piece of advice that they have a right to say, especially when they're closer to you, scholars, for example, parents, for example, elders, and so on. No one's just going to come to you on the street. Well, they may just come to you on the street and say, "You know what, this is wrong." Process it correctly. Understand, you don't have to snap back at them and so on. Some people, that's how they behave. But nonetheless, people have a right to tell you. Consider it a gift of Allah. Because one of the very, very scary verses in the Quran is when the people of hellfire will be entering hellfire, the gatekeepers will be asking them, did a warner not come to you to warn you? Did no reminder come to you? Did people not recite to you verses? Or in the case of those who lived in the midst of the messengers, did the messengers not recite to you verses reminding you? On that day, you can't come and say, well, they were judging me and I didn't like judgmental statements. They advised you, they told you, they warned you. They gave you what you need to take. So let's understand this. May Allah Almighty make us from among those who are fair, who are balanced. And you know, part of being balanced is to treat everyone with similar respect. You offer them respect. People you know, people you don't know. A gift that we have is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us to sallim ala kulli man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. You should greet all those you know and those you don't know. You greet them. I think we're lacking. We're lacking to the degree that even those we know, we look at who they are before we actually go out of our way. Assalamu alaikum. You see a guy who's wealthy, you see a guy who's influential, you see a guy who's powerful, what do? You say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you my brother? And you see another person, poor, perhaps a different race, perhaps a lower income, you ignore them as though they don't exist. What happened to you? Tusallim ala kulli man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. What happened to that? So when you become conscious of it and you realize you're going to clock a reward, great reward, by treating people with respect. Then you realize Islam preaches fairness and justice. Islam preaches that everyone should be treated in a similar manner and all of them in a respectful manner. Yes, you may respect your parents upon their level. You will respect your teachers upon their level. But that basic respect that you offer everyone should be of a very high standard. May Allah make it easy for us. We have people working for us. We have people who might, you know, bother us. We have beggars who may irritate us because we're human. You see someone, I've seen it happening here in Zimbabwe on the streets, where someone comes with a cloth and you know, you just washed your vehicle and the guys have a cloth in their hands, and as you stop, they come and start wiping like you wanted any wiping, and then they want a dollar or two from you. I wiped your car, I cleaned your car. Instead, they messed it. And sometimes they'll come to the window. I don't even want to say what they may or may not do, but the car is messed and you feel so irritated. Do you know what? Allah says it in the Quran. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. As for the beggar, the one asking, don't rebuke them. In a nutshell, don't abuse them. Don't insult them. You don't want to give, don't give. Be respectful about your not giving. Don't be insulting. That's all. I don't want to encourage this type of behavior. I'm not going to give. Fair enough. You can either make a sign or, you know, greet them or whatever, or ignore them completely. That's not so bad either. But if you are going to do the opposite, you've lost it, because it could have been the other way around. May Allah protect us. It could have been the other way around. And this is why, look at the issue of justice. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was faced with a person who had stolen, her name was Fatima bint al-Makhzum. She had pinched something and it was worth more than a certain amount, taken from a certain type of a place that warranted that she be punished. And you know, the punishment for stealing in Islam is severe, especially when it is beyond a certain amount and taken from a certain type of a place considered secure for that item. And the person is sane. So the people had a little meeting and a discussion to say, you know what, who's committed this crime? Well, it is Fatima from the Makhzum tribe. Bani Makhzum was considered the elite, the top, you know. You think of community, who are the top people in community? You might think up some names. That's a top family, this is a top family. Not to... The Prophet ﷺ was faced with the situation where the companions had a discussion and said, who is most beloved to the Prophet, peace be upon him? Send him to talk to him, to say, because she comes from a tribe that is very, very well known and influential, don't punish her, leave her. Now, do you know, when you want something from someone, a youngster came to me and told me, for example, just an example, he says, I'd like to get married to so-and-so, but the father's being a little bit hard. I said, who are his friends? Talk to one of his most dear friends, or talk to his boss, or talk to a scholar who's close to the person, and convince that person, please, can you speak to them? Why? When a lot of the times people are worried about community, so they say, no, I don't want you to get married. They're worried, what will they say? What will this person say? That person say? But when you get community to come to them and tell them, why don't you let this thing happen? It changes in a lot of occasions. A lot of times it changes the person's heart. Okay, let me consider it, see it, because of the person talking to you. An influential person comes to you and says, you know what, my brother, I have a good proposal for your child. Why don't you think about it? Because I work with, I look up to this person, I'm going to say, okay, Jazakallah khair. But when you find someone coming and say, hey, you know what, I want to marry your daughter, say, hey, keep quiet, get out. You know, who are you? So similarly, it applied where they chose Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was so loved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go talk to him. So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, oh messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the makhzoom and whatever, and so he came and do shafa'a to say, can I intercede on behalf of this lady who actually stole, she's supposed to be punished, but you know, she comes from an influential family, and you know, please don't punish her. In a nutshell, let her off, it's okay. He was so upset. He went red. He went cross. She is from a very respectable, you know, part of the people, the community, a tribe and a clan that is really very respectable. But she did something wrong. She must face it. He says, Waymullah, you know, at the top of his voice. He swears by Allah. He says, I swear by Allah. If the daughter, if Fatima, today it's Fatima bint al-Makhzoom. لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها. If it was Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who committed this crime, I would have served the punishment to her too. My daughter, so what? If she did something wrong, she did it wrong. She must face the consequences of it in this world. Don't be... In fact, prior to that statement, he says, "Atashfa'u fi haddin min hududillah." Are you trying to come to me to intercede in one of the limits of Allah, a transgression that is beyond a certain line? Subhanallah. Look at the justice. How do you think the downtrodden felt? He continued. He didn't stop there. He says, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الشَّرِيفُ تَرَكُوهُ وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِّ. He says, do you know what destroyed the previous nations? When the elite from among them committed crimes, they were let to go. They were the criminals. And when the weak and downtrodden committed crimes, they were quickly punished. Totally punished. You see the double standards. This is why we say, going back to what I was saying earlier, be fair, be just, treat people respectfully. You never know which portion of your politeness to which person might be the tipping of the weight of the scale on the right side of your scales of justice on the day of judgment that you needed to get to Jannah. And why we say this? You know, when you and I are going to Jannah, listen to the mercy of Allah. Notice how I said when we're going to Jannah without even doubting. Inshallah, we're going. Say Ameen. There's a scale. There's a scale of justice. Allah says we put the good on one side, we put the bad on the other side. If you have more good than bad, we'll ignore the bad, you can carry on. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sounds like 5149, right? Allahu Akbar, may Allah make it easy. You and I don't realize that's the mercy of Allah. He didn't say you're never going to commit sin. He knows you and I are going to commit sin. But are you a bad person? Are you predominantly an evil person? Inshallah, no, I will not. I try. I have my flaws. I seek forgiveness. I'm not proud to go to someone and say, please forgive me, my brother. Things you may know, you may not know, forgive me. You know, there is retail and wholesale. Sometimes you're too embarrassed to go to someone and say, I did this, forgive me. Go for wholesale. my brother, forgive me, whatever's happened, just forgive me. You know, let's start a new leaf. They say, okay, but if they knew the details, they might have said, hey, retail is a bit more in price, you know, wholesale is cheaper. So basically, it's good to just seek forgive, brother, forgive me, please, you know, may Allah forgive, and so on. In South Africa, they have, even here, they have a statement, they hug you and they say, maaf, maaf, you know, maaf. And you wonder, what's maaf? Now you know what maaf is. Maaf means, listen, just wipe it out, it's okay. So they believe, and people do believe, when someone says maaf as they're hugging you, and you say maaf, it means everything's wiped out. Allah knows best. Rather be a bit more sincere and say, brother, forgive me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I have stood on the pulpit and I'm standing again saying, my beloved brothers, my sisters, be you here or elsewhere, those who may hear this later, if I have wronged you in any way, shape or form, inshallah, it's not intentional. And if it were something that hurt you, forgive me. Forgive me. For genuinely, we try our best to be as positive and as genuine as possible. We may not be able to give some people time or something the way they want it. We are human, we are weak, we also have weaknesses, but generally, let's forgive each other. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness and help us to uplift and uphold justice, goodness, fairness. Every week in the khutbah we hear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah instructs you to be fair, to be kind and good. And Allah Almighty instructs you to maintain family relations. He's the one who chose your family members. He knows why. Some of them are tough to get on with. He knows it. You navigate through it, inshallah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah not make us the tough ones. May Allah make us those who are a little bit more easygoing. That doesn't mean you forego the justice. In fact, I end on the note where I say, mark the words of the verse very carefully. Allah says, Allah instructs you to be just and kind, because justice always comes before kindness. You can't use the excuse of be kind, be kind, be kind to oppress people and expect them, don't worry, just forgive them. No, there's a limit beyond which, listen, I need my right. You owe me $1 million, I'll be kind to you, but I need my million. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all ease. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad.